in you. I trust in you. I believe you're my healer. I believe you are all I need. I believe, Lord, I believe you're my portion. I believe you're more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need. Nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible for you. You hold my world in your hands. Nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible for you. You hold my world in your hands.
But we switched. He needs to fight. You got to get this one back. Yeah.
Let me see mine back. Is that twice or three
the click's
times?
Too loud in my ear. It's driving me nuts.
Okay.
And it won't turn
off.
Sorry, Nate. Yes.
I can't.
We switch back. This is, you can only go to a certain volume on that one. It does not turn down. It's just full throttle in my ear. I can't hear Nate on that one. So now I can hear Nate on this one, but I don't sound that loud. And I need to sound loud on mine. Yeah, I'm going to stay with mine. Because the click is really loud in that one. Hey, gorgeous. Gorgeous girl. Hey, girl. How are you? Look pretty. Three times. Right? Three times.
Nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is
impossible. Nothing. me.
Jesus, you're all I need. Morning. Chester, I still don't hear myself in my ears.
He can't.
Yeah, the blessing. Definitely need to go over this one.
If he would change it, we could do it as well. Hola. ¿Cómo se llama? Hello, 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 hello. What time is it, Pastor Steve? You peace. receiving, we agree. Children, may his favor be upon you in a thousand generations, in your family, in your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor be upon you in a thousand generations, in your family, in your children, and their children.
An A. A. Really? Oh, testimony?
Hello. Hello. And welcome. Hello.
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 Hello. Okay. I've got it all the way up, Chester, and it's nothing's in my ear. Okay. Nothing is in my ear but the music and night. Now the click's in my ear and the music.
It's just the click. It's not the music.
Nothing is in my ear.
So now, say something.
Say, okay, that's good.
You did it.
No, it's... We did the other song in G. We did Testimony. Oh, right, you're right. G. Okay, yeah.
Hear what? I turned you off.
Hey, are you doing healer in A or...
Hello. Yeah, pretty good. Yeah. Healer is in A. Healer is in A, and testimony is in G.
I saw Satan fall like lightning. I saw darkness run for cover. But the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. I believe in signs and wonders. I have resurrection power. Yes, I do. Still the miracle that I can discover. My faith is registered in heaven. Oh, my praise belongs to you forever. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. Oh, I'm alive. Come together, sons and daughters, fought with blood and washed in water. Sing the graces of the Spirit, Son and Father. Our God will finish what He started. Yes, our God, He'll finish what He started. Oh, yeah. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. This is my testimony. If I'm not dead, then you're not. If I'm not dead, then you're not done. Greater things are still to come. If I'm not dead, then you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead and you're not done, oh, I believe. Greater things are still to come. If I'm not dead, then you're not done. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. Oh, I'm alive. This is my testimony from death to life.
Good morning, everybody. I'm so happy that y'all are here. Got a special guest here. Everybody stand up with me, please. Happy Sunday. Just give God a praise and sing along with us if you can.
Satan fall like lightning. I saw darkness run for cover. But the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. I believe in signs and wonders. I have resurrection power. Yes, I do. But the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. Oh, my praise belongs to you forever. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. Come together, sons and daughters, fought with blood and washed with water. Sing the graces of the Spirit, Son and Father, our God. We'll finish what he started. Yes, our God will finish what he started. I believe this is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace renewed my story. I testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. If I'm not dead, then you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, then you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, then you're not done.
You're not done, you're not.
Greater things are still to come. Oh, I. If I'm not dead, then you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. Oh, I believe. Oh, I believe. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. Oh, I'm alive. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. From death to life, I am alive. This is my testimony.
Guys, know this song, sing along with me.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but He brought me in. Oh, His love for me. Oh, His love.
calm my raging sea. You walk with me through fire and heal all my disease. I trust in you. I trust in you. I believe you're my healer. I believe you are all I need. I believe, I believe, Lord. I believe you're my portion. I believe you're more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all.
Today. Come on, give him a big hand of praise today. If you believe that, give him a big hand of praise. We thank you, Lord. You are our healer. You all hold our world in your hands, Lord. There's nothing that is impossible for you. Aren't you glad that the Lord is your healer? Not only is he your healer, but he protects you. He keeps you healthy. Amen. The Lord is our healer and he protects us. That's what Psalm 91 promises. It says, when you abide under the shadow of the Almighty, that no plague, no sickness will come near your house. That's what Psalm 91 declares. The Lord is our healer. He is our protector. Amen. And there is nothing that is impossible with God. All things are possible with Him. No matter what you may be facing, you're watching this today online. We're so glad you joined us. And whatever you may be facing, I want you to know there is nothing that is impossible for God. There is no sickness He cannot heal. There is no problem He cannot solve. There is no need that He cannot meet. There is no obstacle that He cannot cause you to overcome. There is nothing that, if the Bible says, if God is for me, what and who can stand against me? Say, the Lord is for me. Say, thank you, Lord, you're for me. You're on my side. Say, if God is for me, what can be against me? What can stand against me? Amen. Right now, before we sing our final song, I want to invite you, if you would like prayer today, this is the place to come to be prayed for. We are a church that believes in prayer. We believe in miracles. We believe that our God is a miracle-working God, and there's nothing that is too impossible for Him. And very often, the reason we don't receive our miracle is because we don't ask Him. In James 4, verse 2, it says, you do not have what you need or what you want because you don't ask God for it. Very often, it's amazing. People come to church, and yet they sit here, and we have prayer. And we say, if you need prayer, come on down. And they have a great need in their life, and they stay in their seat, and they never ask God. That's why nothing happens. God said, ask me. Call upon me, I'll answer you. Whatever you desire when you pray, believe you receive it, and you will have it. Amen. So I want to invite you, if you need prayer today, if you need healing in your body, our Jesus is the healer. He's still in the healing business. He hasn't lost any of His power. Don't you listen to any of that fake news that God doesn't heal today. That's fake news. He's still in the healing business today. I've seen Him do it over and over and over again. I've seen miracles. How many of you ever seen a miracle in your life? A healing miracle? Wave your hand at me. Absolutely. If you need healing in your body, we want to pray for you. If you have a financial need, let me tell you, the Bible says God takes care of the sparrows, the birds, and how much more will He not take care of you? God wants to meet every need in your life. Maybe you say, Pastor Steve, I'm struggling with an addiction. Let me tell you, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus will set you free from every addiction. So right now is the time where we pray. Jesus said, my house will be called the house of prayer. Amen. So I want to ask our prayer partners, come and help me. Come and stand out at the front. If you need prayer, come right now. I believe it's important also, we need to pray for America. How many of you believe? How many of you know that we have the answer? His name is Jesus. We have the power to pray. Don't depend on some politician to solve the problem. Don't look to a human being. We got to look to God. We got to pray for our nation. So we're going to do that right now. Will you join with me? Will you pray with me? Say this. Say it from your heart. Say, Father, I thank you that you said, if my people call by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked way, then you will hear our prayer and you will heal the land. Say it with me now. Say, Father, we call upon you. We look to you. We ask you to heal this nation. We pray that there would be peace in this nation. We pray for unity in this nation. We pray for a revival to sweep across this nation. Let your power, let your spirit move across America in the name of Jesus. Say, Father, we pray that your will would be done Say, we stand against, we come against every demonic power that would try and bring sickness, division, unrest in America. We bind you in the name of Jesus. Say, we declare Jesus is Lord of America, and the peace of God rules in America, and there is unity in our nation. God is guiding our nation in the name of Jesus. Say amen. Come on, say amen. So be it. I agree with that. Now, as we sing our final song, which is called The Blessing, I encourage you to sing it out with us, because there's something that happens in your own life, in your own mind, and in your own heart. When you start to give, to sing praise to God, it changes you. It changes your circumstance. It changes your thinking. Joy. The Bible says, put on a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. In other words, when you start singing and praising, heaviness goes, depression goes, bondages go, joy comes, peace comes. There's something that happens to us when you worship the Lord. So I want to encourage you to sing with us today. Declare it the blessing. If you need prayer, come right now. We're going to pray. We love you. God loves you. He wants to bless you. He wants to meet every need in your life. All He asks is that you would trust Him, call upon Him, look to Him. You'll be amazed. There is nothing that is impossible for our God. Amen. Come on, let's sing. The Lord bless you.
Sing it with me. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make His face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Sing it with me, you guys. Ready? for my family, your family,
yes,
all of our families, and our children.
Yes.
May his favor go before you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor go before you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor go before you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor go before you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor go before you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children.
Rejoicing, he is for you, he is for you,
he is for you, he is for you,
he is for you,
he is for you,
he is for you,
he is for you.
We declare that this morning, if you receive it, just lift your hands up. Say, let his favor be upon me, upon my children and their children. Do you know that that is the way that God works, that he works generationally, and that it's what you're doing today by bowing your knee before the Most High God doesn't just affect you, but it's going to affect your children. It's going to, there's some of you that are here today, not because of anything you did, but because you had a grandmother that prayed for you. You had somebody that took the time to go before God. And right now what you're doing is you're just invoking that blessing. It's not what we're asking God to do. It's what he has promised to do. He has promised it. He says, this is what I want to give you, my favor and my blessing for all your generations. And what we're doing right here by singing that is we're saying, I receive it. I receive. Just do it. When we sing amen, we say, so be it unto me. Say amen. So be it to me. Amen. Well, welcome to Ascend Church. So good to worship with you. Turn and greet someone and you may be seated.
Good morning, family. So good to have you at Ascend Church today. We welcome those that are watching us, whether you're watching on Facebook Live, whether you're watching on our mobile app or on YouTube, on our website. We welcome you to the service. We have way more people that watch online, just such as the times. And it's a great tool to have. You can have people watching from all over. But I love to be in the house of God. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad that you can. There's something that happens when, you know, we always had the example when they talked about being a Christian, and people say, well, I can be a Christian wherever I am, and that's true. But it's like if you had a fire that was burning with coals, and you took one of the coals and you put it out somewhere else, it soon starts to grow cold, right? And so I like this. I like the heat that comes from, I like the anointing that comes from us being together in the house of God. Amen. I want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time today. We love having visitors. We met a couple of people before the service, but we're glad you're here. I don't know how you came to be here. Maybe someone invited you. Maybe you just saw the sign or heard that we were open and decided to come. I don't believe it's ever an accident. You know, God has a way. You think, I'm going to just decide to do this, but the Bible says that He just directs our footsteps. And I pray that you get everything you need to hear today from the Lord. And if you are here for the first time today, would you mind just waving your hand? We'd like to just hand you a gift bag. God bless you. God bless you. Come on, wave it again. Let's see you. So nice to see you. So good. So good. Every week we have new visitors, and we appreciate you being here. Our ushers have given you a little visitor pack, and in there's a white card. We ask you just take a moment and fill that out. At the end of the service, we pass an offering bucket by. Just drop it in. And Pastor Steve loves to call and ask how you are. So be prepared. Right? It's your favorite thing to do, right? That's what pastors do, right? And so if you wouldn't mind just filling that out for us, drop it in the offering bucket at the end of the service. And if you can, just stay for a few minutes and say hi to us. We would appreciate that. Amen. I want to just remind you of the four main purposes of our church. First of all, in everything we do, we want to help you to know God, first of all, to find freedom, to discover your purpose, and to make a difference with your life. That's what it all is about. Amen. We got to know Him. We got to follow Him. We got to be free of everything. And we've got to do something for the kingdom of God. Amen. Thank you, my dear. Let me just say this before. There's a table out in the lobby, and it has books on it. One of our members is moving out of their home, and they have extensive collection of Christian books, and they've offered if anyone wants to help themselves. It's been there for a couple of weeks. So last week it's going to be there. So if there's anything you want, go and take it. There's also a box of lost property, which is going to be donated as of Monday. So if anything of yours is there, go get it.
Praise God. So there's a whole table of free books out there, right? Just go and help yourself. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you. Thank you, Tom. Happy birthday. Friday? Yesterday. Anyone else have a birthday yesterday, today? Anyone's birthday today? Oh, well, happy birthday. Happy birthday. I was just posting on Facebook, the only time you're allowed to do it in church, sharing the service. So I went onto our Facebook page and shared the live stream on my page. Because, you know, Brian, wave at me, Brian. Brian, you shared something on Facebook about our church. You said something about Ascend Church. And Belkis, wave Belkis. Belkis back there saw it. And she owns a hair salon, and she saw it. And so she told Andrea, wave at me, Andrea. She told Andrea about Ascend Church is open. And the next thing, we got Andrea, her five children, her grandchildren, Belkis, Juan, their friends. You never know what one post on social media, what it could lead to. Isn't that great? That's why we do it. So I want to encourage you, if you're on Facebook, now if you're not on Facebook, you're not missing much. But if you are, then share this live stream, because you never know where it's going to go. Also, I want to let you know that I'm very pleased that we finally got our Spanish translation working great. And if you would like to listen to the service in Spanish, or you know anyone that, you know, that is Spanish and you can bring them to church, there's a little card, tells you how to log on. It's very easy. Just follow the prompts. If you, they're in the lobby, and the ushers have them. It'll tell you exactly how to get on through our website or through our mobile app, and you can listen to the service in Spanish. And so I'm very glad about that. We also are looking for some people to help us, because we've had the same person doing the Spanish translation for the last four weeks, and we need to have some other people help, because if we can have other people help, then we can take turns. So if you speak Spanish and you would like to help us with this translation, now let me say this, what I do is I take the notes that I preach from, and we have someone, Danny translates those notes into Spanish, and so the person doing the translation follows along with my notes that are in Spanish. We make it as easy as we can. If you can speak Spanish and you'd like to help us, I'm looking for at least three more people that can help us. Wave at me right now. Wave at me. All right, Eva, we got one. Ah, Giselle, we got two. Wonderful, wonderful. Who else? Who else who speaks Spanish? I've got time. No hurry. Who else? Another one. Who else speaks Spanish? Should we start nominating them, Nick? Just let me know if you know someone who speaks Spanish in here. Just call out their name. Well, if you'd like to help, thank you to Giselle and to Eva. We need at least one more. A few. Isabel. There you go. Wonderful. Wonderful. There we go. Four people. Thank you so much. That's great. Also, how many of you believe that this is an important time for us as the church to be praying for America? I'm actually kind of surprised, to be honest with you, that there is not been a greater outcry from the church to pray. In fact, I've been a little concerned. It seems that the church, there's an apathy on the church. You have people out protesting by the thousands because they believe in what they're doing. We believe in the gospel. I'm amazed that there's not Christians by the thousands on the streets, not protesting, but praying. If you look at the life of Jesus, you will see all the time he drew aside and he went and he prayed. He'd go to the mountain and he'd pray. Jesus is the Son of God. In the book of Acts, you see, whenever anything came against them, they'd pray. Well, they prayed anyway, but especially when persecution came, they'd pray. Family, I really believe it's important for us as a church to be praying in these times. And so what I've decided is, starting from next Sunday, we're going to pray before the service from 9:15 to 9:45 for 30 minutes. We've got an upstairs room, a room upstairs that holds about 50 people, and we're going to get together and we're going to pray. And I want to invite you to come and join me and come and pray with me. Family, listen, we got to pray. We got to pray for America. There is power in prayer. Amen? So I want to invite you next Sunday, come at 9:15, come pray with us upstairs for 30 minutes. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you're here today. I'm glad to see you today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness, for your blessing, that you are for us, you're not against us. Lord, we thank you that we are citizens of heaven, our names are registered in heaven. We thank you for your goodness in our life. We thank you for your word today. Lord, I thank you that as I stand to declare your word, that you anoint me and you speak through me and you help me. I'm trusting you, Lord, not myself. I thank you for anointing your word and carrying it to every heart, to every mind, causing our faith to rise up big, removing all doubt, all confusion, all unbelief. Thank you for revelation and understanding that, Lord, we will not be the same again, in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Amen.
God bless you. Thank you to our worship team who did a wonderful job today. Why don't you give them a big round of applause? Praise God. And are you ready for God's word today? Because I want to speak to you about bless yourself. Say, bless myself. Say, I got to bless myself. We hear a lot of, you know, we hear a lot about blessing other people and being good to other people and complimenting somebody else and helping a neighbor. And, you know, that's all good. We should help other people. But it's also important to bless yourself. And maybe when you hear the, you know, you hear the term bless yourself, that they may sound a little strange to you and a little odd, a little self-centered. You know, I can't bless myself, Pastor Steve. I want someone else to bless me. Or more importantly, I want God to bless me. But let me tell you that the scripture says in Isaiah 65, verse 16, from the Amplified Bible, it says, so it shall be that he who invokes a blessing on himself in the land shall do so by saying. It talks about invoking a blessing on yourself. And the way that you invoke a blessing on yourself is by saying. It's with your words. You see, the way you bless yourself is to say what God says about you, to say about yourself the same thing that God says about you. When you declare what God says, you invoke a blessing on yourself. When you say, I'm strong, I'm forgiven, I'm healthy, I'm valuable, I'm a masterpiece, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, that's not just positive affirmations. You just invoked a blessing on yourself. The word invoke means to call on a deity in prayer. It means to call for, it means to give rise to summon, to cause to be carried out. When we talk about, the Bible talks about invoking a blessing, it's talking about calling for the blessing of God in your life by saying about you what God says about you. Are you with me so far? When you speak it out your mouth, you give life to what you're saying. It's not enough to just think it. You don't bless yourself by just dwelling on positive thoughts, positive thinking. No, nothing happens until you speak it. When you say, I am blessed, blessings come looking for you. When you say, I am prosperous, I'm prospering, good breaks start heading your way. When you say, I am healthy, health starts tracking you down. Are you with me? You can't wait until you feel that way and then you're going to say it. You can't wait until the medical report turns around and then you're going to say, I'm healthy. In fact, it's just the opposite. You have to declare you're healthy before the health is going to show up. You have to call for it before it comes. The Bible says that Abraham called things that be not as though they were. You've got to say, I am confident before you're going to feel confident. If you say it long enough, what happens is those words get down in your heart, down in your spirit, and you begin to believe what you're saying about yourself. Because let me tell you, more than what anybody else says about you, when you hear yourself say every day, day after day, I'm blessed, I'm healthy, I'm talented, I'm valuable, I'm confident, I'm favored by God, it changes the way you see yourself. And over time, you're going to become what you're saying. Say, I'm going to become what I'm saying. In fact, you are who you are in part today because of the things you've been speaking over your life in the days gone past. In fact, all through the day, you need to develop this habit of blessing yourself. You don't have to do it in front of other people, but when you, you know, when you're in the shower, thank you, Father, that I am creative. I am a great father. I have a good personality. I am attractive. I am favored by God. When you're driving to work, Lord, thank you. I'm forgiven. I'm redeemed. Your mercy is bigger than any mistake I've ever made. Before you go to bed, Lord, thank you that I'm one of a kind, that I've got seeds of greatness in me. I am valuable to you. Let me tell you, every time you say it, it's getting deeper in your spirit and becomes more ingrained in your thinking. In fact, studies tell us that we move towards what our subconscious minds, what's in our subconscious mind without even thinking about it. You're being pulled toward what you are saying. That's why it's important to pay attention to what you're speaking and saying over yourself. Because other people may say things about you, you know, but nothing is more powerful than what you say about yourself. I can tell you all day long, you're not a victim. You are a victor. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You're more than a conqueror through Christ. And that's good. That's helping your thinking. But it's nothing compared to what happens when you begin to declare, I'm a child of the Most High God. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am more than a conqueror. I'm a masterpiece. I'm handpicked by the Creator of the universe. Let me tell you, when you keep declaring that, you can't stay insecure. You can't carry on feeling unworthy. When you begin to speak like that, it'll get down in your spirit and you'll end up putting your shoulders back and you hold your head up high and going places you never thought you would go. My question today is, are you blessing yourself, or are you just waiting for God to bless you, or waiting for your spouse to make you feel valuable, or waiting for that addiction to just go away? Maybe the reason it's not happening is because you're not invoking the blessing on yourself. You're not declaring what God says about you. You see, the Bible says in Colossians 1 verse 13, He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Say, I have been delivered from the power of darkness. It says, I've been conveyed into the kingdom of the Son of His love. That means if I've been delivered from the power of darkness, then darkness has no power over me. Am I right? Galatians 5 verse 1 says, let me be clear, the anointed one, Christ, has set us free, not partially, but completely and wonderfully free. Now, let me tell you what God says. God says you're completely free. God says you're wonderfully free. It says we must always cherish this truth and stubbornly refuse to go back to the bondage of our past. God says you've been set free. Now, when you agree with what God says and you say, thank God, Christ has set me free, you are declaring and invoking and blessing yourself. See, in the face of that addiction, you need to declare, I'm completely free. I am whole. Greater is he that is in me than that which is trying to stop me. Not just one time, but you need to declare it all through the day, week after week, and month after month. Keep declaring it. Amen. You got to keep blessing yourself. Keep declaring you're free. Keep speaking the victory. As you do it, you may not be able to see it, but freedom is coming your way. The scripture says in Proverbs 18 verse 20, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. Say this, my mouth produces fruit. From the produce of his lips, he shall be filled. Your mouth produces things. The next verse says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The contemporary English version says, you will eat everything you say. You ever heard that saying, you're going to eat your words? You ever heard that? Do you know that's true? The Bible says you're going to eat everything you say. Proverbs 13 verse 2 says, a man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth. Say, I'm going to eat the fruit of my words. So whatever you're saying, that fruit is developing. That fruit is growing. It's significant to me that God uses fruit as an example, because how many of you know fruit doesn't develop overnight? Fruit takes time to grow and develop. That's showing us that you have to keep on speaking it. You have to keep on blessing yourself. Don't be moved by what's not changing. You may not see results in a week, but things are happening that you cannot see with these physical eyes. Does anyone here have any fruit trees in their yard? Wave at me if you've got any fruit trees. Does anyone have a lemon tree in your yard? Now, you know that with a lemon tree, that a lemon starts off as a little white flower. It's got no resemblance to a lemon. But over time, that flower changes into a little round ball about the size of a pea. And then month after month, it grows. In a year or so, it's a big, beautiful yellow lemon. In the same way, as you keep on saying what God says about you, day in and day out, and week in and week out, and month in and month out, those words are taking root. And that freedom that you're declaring is developing in your life. That health you're declaring, the talent, the confidence, the discipline, it's growing in your life. And you're going to come to a point where you begin to see what you've been saying. You're not speaking it by faith anymore. Now it's a reality. You're going to eat the fruit of your words. That's why every day you need to spend time blessing yourself. In fact, this needs to get down into your DNA to where this is how you talk all the time. Are you with me? You don't want to say, well, I'll tell you what, I want to take 5 minutes every day and I'm going to bless myself. And all the other 23 hours, I'm going to talk garbage over myself. No, no, no. This needs to be a lifestyle. It needs to be in your DNA that you do not speak words that curse you, but you speak words that bless you. It's good when other people encourage you. It's good when people pray for you. But their words do not have the same authority in your life as your own words. What you say about yourself, you're giving it the right to come to pass in your life. That's why when we wake up every day, most of us, you know, brush our teeth. I don't always do that because I work from home. Sometimes I go all day, don't brush my teeth, don't tell anybody about it. That's terrible. That is terrible. That is awful, isn't it? That's gross. Take a shower, pick out our clothes, get dressed. We may spend half an hour getting our physical body ready for the day, but often we don't spend any time getting our mind, our spirit, our inner person, our emotions ready for the day. What if you took a few minutes before you leave the house and begin just say what God says about you? Just make this declaration of faith over yourself. Say this, say, I'm blessed. I am prosperous. This should be coming up on the screen. I am redeemed. I am forgiven, healed, protected. I am talented, creative, disciplined, focused. I'm confident, secure, prepared, qualified. I am motivated, valuable, free, determined. I am equipped, empowered, anointed. I am accepted and approved. I'm not average, not mediocre. I'm a child of the Most High God. That's who God says you are. What if you said that every day? In fact, if you got the handout that we gave out today, the notes where we give you the outline of today's sermon, I got that little declaration. I encourage you, man, declare that over your life every day. Because let me tell you, it becomes a reality when you say it. You bless yourself when you say what God says about you. And in order to know what God says about you, you got to read the Bible. Because that's where you find out what God says about you. The reason why some Christians can't say what God says about them is they don't know what God says about them because they don't read the Bible. The more you read your Bible, the more you find out what God says about you and begin to say the same thing about yourself. Listen to faith-building sermons. That's why we film these sermons. You can get our free mobile app. There's like 60 sermons on the videos. You can watch them every week. Keep watching these sermons. You see, life tries to push us down and tell us what we're not and what we can't do and how we failed. Sometimes even our own thoughts will tell us, you'll never be able to do that. You'll never be able to have that. There's nothing good in your future. If you listen to those lies and you give life to them by speaking them out of your mouth, it'll keep you from your destiny. It'll keep you from becoming who God purposed for you to become. But if you make this declaration several times a day, month after month, it'll get down in your spirit and you will become everything God created you to be. The more that you begin to declare what God says about you, the more you will see it become a reality in your life. When you're constantly saying what God says about you, it'll bring down strongholds that are keeping you back. It'll get rid of impurities that are contaminating your self-image. You begin to see yourself the right way, redeemed, forgiven, strong, victorious, loved and accepted by God and chosen by God and valuable to God. Amen? Amen. I spoke to a man who was raised in a very dysfunctional home, and his father told him that he would never amount to anything, that he wasn't smart enough, that he'd never be successful. And for 40 years, he believed those lies. And he stayed at the lowest level position at a company that he worked at. He never thought he'd rise any higher. After all, he was told he didn't have the talent. And one day he heard what I'm telling you, and instead of agreeing with what people said about him, he started speaking and declaring what God said about him. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I have seeds of greatness on the inside of me. I'm full of potential. I have the favor of God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And as he began to speak what God said about him, he began to see himself in a new way. He became more confident. New gifts started to come out of him. Other people started to notice it, and he started getting promoted again and again and again. After 30 years being stuck at the same low-level position, today he's running his whole department. He's got several hundred people working underneath him. God has blessed him. Let me tell you, people may tell you you're average. There's nothing special about you, but the good news is what you say about yourself overrides what other people may say about you. Don't let what others say about you keep you from becoming who God created you to be. Amen? Don't go around repeating those lies. Oh, I've reached my limits. Oh, I'm never going to accomplish my dream. I'm not that talented. I guess I'm never going to find love. I'm never going to meet the right person. Zip that up and speak blessing over your life. The scripture says this about our tongue in James chapter 3. It says we all fail in many areas, but especially with our words. Yet if we're able to bridle the words that we say, we are powerful enough to control ourselves in every way. And that means our character is mature and fully developed. It says horses have bits and bridles in their mouths so we can control and guard their large body. It says the same with mighty ships. Though they are massive and driven by fierce winds, they are steered by a tiny rudder at the direction of the person at the helm. And so the tongue is a small part of the body, but it carries great power. If you read on to verse 9, it says, with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree bear olives and a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. What that is saying is, are you blessing yourself or are you cursing yourself? Are you speaking words of faith and victory and life, or are you speaking defeat over your life? The Bible says blessing and cursing shouldn't come out the same mouth. We want to just speak blessing. We want to train ourselves to speak blessing, not to speak cursing. You don't want to go around, oh, Pastor Steve, I'm so undisciplined. I'm never going to lose this weight. I'm never going to break this addiction. I'm never going to meet the right person. My marriage is going to fail. I'm stupid. I'm ugly. I'm a failure. I'm sick and tired of this and I'm sick and tired of that. I'm afraid this is going to happen. I never seem to have enough money. I'm going to lose my job. I'm poor. I'm broke. I got no money. I got this disease. I got arthritis. I got cancer. I got this. You may not realize it, but you're cursing yourself by speaking defeat over your future and over your life. Proverbs 18 verse 7 says, a fool's mouth is his destruction and his lips are the snare of his soul. The New Living Bible says the mouth of fools is their ruin. They trap themselves with their own lips. Let me tell you, you got enough things in life that are against you. You got enough people that are against you. Don't be against yourself. There are forces of darkness trying to keep you from your destiny. Don't agree with them. Pay attention to what you're saying about yourself. You cannot talk defeat and have victory. You cannot talk lack and have abundance. You can't talk sickness and have health. You may be undisciplined right now, but the way to change that in your life is not by saying how bad you are and putting yourself down. That's just inviting more difficulties. Don't curse yourself anymore. Start blessing yourself. You bless your life by saying over yourself, I am disciplined. I am more than a conqueror through Christ. I am strong. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I am disciplined. I am determined. I have been delivered from the power of darkness. I've been set free from the power of sin and death. this addiction doesn't control me. I will break this addiction. I will get back in shape. I will be prosperous. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. God is restoring my health. My marriage is saved and strong. My spouse and kids are serving God in the name of Jesus. I have God's favor all around me. I have my career job. I'm the head and not the tail. I got the advantage, the upper hand. Everything I just said is all out of the Bible. Every word I just said is all out of the Bible. Amen.
Amen.
Don't curse yourself. Bless yourself. I know someone, my dad, struggled with smoking for a number of years. He smoked for many years and became a Christian. He said, "Don't anyone tell me not to smoke." And he tried to quit again and again. He wasn't able to do it. He was constantly saying, "Oh, this is too hard. I'll never quit. I don't have the willpower." Well, he went for prayer at church, spoke to Pastor Theo, because my dad was kind of hard on himself. He said, "I'm so undisciplined. I just, you know, I quit for a few months, but then I go back. I'm never going to be able to break this." He didn't realize he was cursing himself with his own words. So Pastor Theo told him what I'm telling you, that he had to change what he was saying. He had to stop blessing himself. Every day he needed to declare, "I'm strong, I'm disciplined, this addiction doesn't control me." Well, my dad tried this different approach, even while he was smoking. "Thank you, Lord, that I'm free from smoking. Thank you, Lord, I got no desire to smoke." It's crazy. He started saying it. Thoughts would tell him. His thoughts would tell him, "What are you kidding? You're not free. You're just as addicted as you were before." But Joel chapter 3, verse 10, it says, "Let the weak say, I'm strong." Let the weak say, "I'm strong." Don't talk about the weakness. Call in strength. Call in freedom. Call in favor. 6 months later, something interesting happened. Pastor Theo invited my dad to go away for a couple of days, go and pray and seek the Lord. And so they go and they pray 2 hours in the hotel. Pray 2 hours, then read the Bible. Then go have a break, come back. Have a break, come back and read some more. So my dad, like, "Oh man, 2 hours is like aching for a cigarette." Soon as Pastor Theo says, "Okay, we go to break," runs back to his room, lights up a cigarette, starts getting sick. He could never smoke after that. Every time he loaded up a cigarette, he gets sick. It happened when he started declaring, "I've got no desire for cigarettes." He started declaring, "This doesn't control me." And one day, what he said became a reality. It all started happening when he stopped cursing himself. He started blessing himself. Are you speaking negatively over yourself? Are you putting yourself down, talking about what you can't do, how you'll never be free? Do yourself a favor. Quit cursing yourself and start blessing yourself. Amen. If you keep speaking negatively about yourself, it's going to keep you from becoming all that God destined you to be. If you read in the book of Numbers, the king of Moab, his name was Balak, he hired the prophet Balaam to go and curse the Israelites. Because the king of Moab knew that the Israelites were stronger, more powerful. And he thought, "If I can get Balaam to curse them, then we'll be able to defeat them." But God told Balaam not to go with them. He told them not to curse Israel because God had already blessed Israel. So Balaam told them, "I can't go with you." So King Balak sent a larger number of officials with a bigger offer of payment, more money. So that night, God told Balaam to go with them, but only to say what he says. But as he went, an angel of the Lord stood in the road to block his way. Balaam was on his donkey, and there was an angel of the Lord. The donkey saw the angel, but Balaam didn't see him. And the donkey saw the angel of the Lord with a sword drawn, standing in the middle of the road. And the donkey, when he saw the angel, guess what he did? He went off the road and he went into the field. He just avoided the big angel. Balaam started beating his donkey. Didn't understand. He's not going the way I want him to go. Got him to turn back onto the road. But when the donkey saw the angel, he lay down and he wouldn't move. And in a fit of rage, Balaam was beating his donkey with his staff. And then the Lord gave the donkey the ability to speak. You ever seen Dr. Doolittle? Well, in the Bible, it actually happened. And if it's in the Bible, I believe it. Because the next thing the donkey said, why are you beating me? Balaam replies to the donkey. He doesn't say, how can you talk? He says, because you made me look like a fool. If I had a sword, I'd kill you. The donkey said, am I not your trusted donkey? You've ridden your whole life. Have I ever done anything like this before? Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes and he saw the angel of the Lord and he fell down on his face to the ground. And the angel said, why did you beat your donkey? I came to block your way because you are resisting the Lord and his will. If your donkey hadn't turned away, I would have killed you by now, but I would have spared your donkey. It tells me God cares about animals. Right, Carol? So now Balaam confessed his sin. He said, I'll go back home. But the angel said, no, go with them. But just say what I tell you to say. When Balaam arrived, instead of cursing the Israelites, he blessed them. The king of Moab got so upset. He said, I'm paying you. I hired you to come and curse them. Why are you blessing them? This happened 3 times. Every time Balaam went to curse them, he ended up blessing them. He said, I cannot curse what God has already blessed. Now listen, here's my point. One thing God is showing us is the enemy cannot curse you because you are God's property and God has already blessed you. So let me tell you, people, bad breaks, how you were raised, what's coming against you cannot stop your destiny. You've already been set apart. You've already been favored. You've already been equipped. You've already been empowered by the creator of the universe, family. But here's the key. Since the enemy can't curse you, he's going to try and deceive you to curse yourself. The enemy can't curse you. He wants you to curse yourself. So he'll do his best to try and get you to go through your life, speaking defeat over your life, speaking sickness over your life, speaking lack over your life. I'm not that smart. I'm not that talented. I'll never meet the right person. I made too many mistakes. Listen, the enemy can't curse you. Don't you dare do it for him. Don't you dare curse yourself. God wants to bless you. The next time you're tempted to say something negative about yourself, negative about your future, negative about your looks, negative about your ability, you need to zip that up because when you're against yourself, you're in agreement with the enemy. When you bless yourself, you're in agreement with God. Did you know that? When you are against yourself, you're agreeing with the enemy. When you bless yourself, you're agreeing with God because you've been created in God's image and he doesn't make any mistakes. You didn't get shortchanged. He knew every fault you would have. He knew the areas you'd struggle in. So you just quit beating yourself up. Quit living unworthy. Receive his mercy and move forward with your life. You have got the talent you need. You came from the right family. You are well able to reach your destiny. You need to just start blessing yourself. You need to start declaring what God says about you. When you're tempted to speak negatively, turn it around. Instead of saying you're not attractive, say, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Instead of saying, I've made too many mistakes, I've ruined my life, say, I'm forgiven, I'm redeemed, I'm justified, and I am restored. When the thought comes, you'll never be successful, no one likes you, say, oh, I'm surrounded by favor. God's taking me from glory to glory. My latter days are going to be better than my former days. Are you blessing yourself or are you cursing yourself? You have a destiny to fulfill. There is a calling on your life. There is an assignment only you can accomplish. We need what you have in this earth. We need your gifts. We need your talent. We need your smile. This world wouldn't be as bright as it is without you shining, living an abundant life that Jesus came to bring us, family. There was a young man in Scripture. His name was Jeremiah. And God gave him a promise that he would be a great prophet. And he would speak to the nations. But Jeremiah was very young. He didn't see himself as a leader. He came from an average family, didn't have a great education, wasn't trained to speak in front of people. But God never asks you to do something and he doesn't give you the ability to do it. You may not feel qualified, but let me tell you, you may think you don't have the talent. The odds may be against you, but you wouldn't have that opportunity if you weren't already equipped. It's in you. You got to call it out. You got to start blessing yourself and agreeing with God. And you'll be tempted to talk about all the reasons why you're not able to. It's too big. I don't have the resources. I don't come from the right family. Don't curse yourself. Jeremiah said to God, God, I can't go to the nations. I'm too young. I wouldn't know what to say. Look what God said back to him in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 7. The Lord replied, don't say I'm too young. Don't say I'm too young. For you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. And don't be afraid of the people, for I will be with you and I will protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken. Jeremiah, don't say you're too young. God immediately stopped his negative words. He stopped him from cursing himself because God knew if Jeremiah went around saying, I can't do this, I'm too young, I don't have what it takes, he would have missed his destiny. You got to be careful what you're saying about yourself because you are prophesying your future. The odds may be against you, but let me tell you, God is for you. And the scripture tells us in Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? Say, God is for me. And if God is for me, who can be against me? Don't say, I'll never break this addiction. I'll never meet the right person. I'll never be able to start my own business. I'm never going to accomplish my dream. No, get in agreement with God. God is for me. Nothing can stop me. God, the Lord, is with me. Amen. In fact, the Bible tells us in Psalm 34 in verse 12, does anyone want to live a life that is long and prosperous? Do you want to live a life that's long and prosperous? Wave your hand if you want to live a life that's long and prosperous. The Living Bible says, whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days. How many want to see many good days? Wave at me if you want to see many good days. Then how do you do it? Verse 13, then keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Now, do you know Peter quoted that scripture? The Apostle Peter, in 1 Peter 3, verse 10, he quoted it. He said, as the scriptures say, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Now, when we think about telling lies, we think that only means don't tell lies to other people. Don't be dishonest. But it also means don't tell lies about yourself. Don't go around saying things that contradict what God says about you. Because if you say something that contradicts what God says, you just lied about it. And that's speaking evil, and it'll stop you from seeing good days and living a long life. You go around saying, oh, I tell you what, I'm not strong. I'm not disciplined. I got no discipline, Pastor Steve. I could never do that. I'm broke. I tell you what, I'm so broke. I'm so sick. I'm so unable. Can I say this respectfully? That's telling lies. Because that is not what God says about you. That is not who God says you are. Now, if you're going to see that long, good, prosperous, amazing life, you've got to do something very important. You've got to watch your tongue. David understood this. David said in Psalm 141, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. The Passion Bible says it like this. God, give me grace to guard my lips from speaking what is wrong. David knew how important it was. The words, he said, put a guard over my, help me, Lord, not to say the wrong things. You got to be careful what you say about yourself. You can't curse yourself and live a blessed life. You can't put yourself down and rise up to become who God created you to be. Amen. Amen. How many of you know who Joel Osteen is? You ever heard of Joel Osteen? Oh, I had the privilege of meeting Joel Osteen a number of years ago. He had a pastor's conference at Lakewood Church in Houston, and I went. There were hundreds of pastors, and I don't know how it happened, but I ended up in a back room with Joel Osteen having lunch, just he and I, just sandwiches and potato chips like everybody else. I ended up spending a couple of hours with him, showing me around the building, up in the roof. I mean, we just hung out for a couple of hours, able to talk to him and ask all these questions. His ministry has really had an impact on me, and I just love his sermons. They've really encouraged me, and a lot of his sermons, I preach them, but you know that when Joel Osteen's dad passed away in 1999, his dad was John Osteen. His dad founded that church, I don't know, 1959 or something. And when his dad passed away, he knew, Joel said he knew that God wanted him to step up
and pastor Lakewood Church. But he didn't feel that he was qualified because he'd never, ever preached ever in his life. Not one time. His dad had tried to get him up on stage many times. Come on, Joel, Wednesday night, why don't you do the offering for us? He hated being up on stage. He was in the background. And so he never went to seminary. He said he was afraid. He was insecure. His dad had this big personality. His dad was strong and confident. But Joel is much more reserved and much more quiet and really shy. And he had plenty of opportunities, he said, to talk about what he wasn't, what he couldn't do, how he didn't measure up, how intimidated he was. But one thing he said that he learned growing up with his dad is not to speak the negative. You may think it, but don't verbalize it. So instead of saying what he felt, he started saying what God said about him. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I've been raised up for such a time as this. He didn't feel anointed, but all through the day, under his breath, he'd say, Father, I thank you that I am anointed. Thoughts would tell him, no one's going to show up and listen to you. The church, you're going to destroy the church. Instead, he'd say, Father, I thank you that people are drawn to me. I thank you your favor's causing me to stand out. When they turn me on TV, they can't turn me off. Instead of cursing himself and agreeing with the enemy, he kept blessing himself and agreeing with God. And most of what he was saying at the time wasn't true because he didn't feel strong, he didn't feel confident, he didn't feel qualified. But over time, little by little, he became what he was saying. He ate the fruit of his words. And now it's 20 years later, and the church that he took over, instead of declining, it became the biggest church in America. Here's my question. Are there areas in your life that you are cursing yourself instead of blessing yourself? You'll be amazed at what will happen. If you'll watch your tongue, you'll be amazed what will happen. The Israelites had been in slavery for 400 years. God supernaturally delivered them. This powerful Pharaoh and all of his army couldn't stop it. God sent the plagues, part of the Red Sea, drowned their enemies in the Red Sea, gave them water out of a rock, manna fell from heaven. God brought them to the promised land. They finally made it to the place that they had dreamed about. They were right next door to the promised land. All they had to do was go in and take the land. God promised to give them the victory. Moses sent out 12 men to spy out the land. 10 of these spies came back and they gave this report. They said, we don't have a chance. There are giants in the land. We look like grasshoppers compared to them. There is no way we can take the land. And the Bible says in Numbers chapter 13, verse 32, they brought the Israelites an evil report of the land which they scattered. They brought an evil report. Now, evil seems like a pretty strong word. Why did God call their report evil? Does anybody know? I already told you this. Because when you get in agreement with what the enemy says, instead of what God says, you curse yourself, that's evil. If you say something about you that is different to what God says about you, you just lied and that's evil. That's powerful. I mean, the Israelites had seen the favor of God. They'd seen the power of God in amazing ways. Yet these 10 spies doubted God. They started telling lies. They started agreeing with the enemy, cursing their future. The enemy couldn't stop them with his power. He had to deceive them into cursing themselves. So they never did make it in the promised land. Except for Joshua and Caleb, they were the only two spies who said, we can do it. Let's go right now. God is on our side. Come on, let's go right now and take the land. Everyone else said, oh, no, 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 no. Let's use some wisdom. Some wisdom. There's the wisdom of men and there's the wisdom of God. Two different things. The enemy doesn't have any new tricks, family. He can't keep you from your destiny. He can't stop God's plan for your life, just like Pharaoh couldn't. God has blessed you. The enemy cannot curse you. The question is, are you going to curse yourself?
Don't fall in that trap. Speak victory over your life. It's interesting to me that James said in James 1:26, is anyone among you who thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart? This one's religion is useless. Do you know you can deceive your heart by not bridling your tongue? How? You can deceive your heart by saying the wrong things. Because when you say it, your heart thinks that's what you want. Are you with me? In Luke chapter 1, an angel appeared to a man named Zechariah and told him that his wife Elizabeth was going to have a baby. They were to name him John. He would become John the Baptist. Elizabeth had been barren her whole life. And both her and her husband Zechariah were way up there in years. It didn't seem possible that this would happen. And in Luke 1 verse 18, Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure that this will happen? I'm an old man now, and my wife is well along in years." The angel said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God, and it was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you don't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born, for my words will certainly be fulfilled at the right time." God knows the power of our words. He knows if you go around cursing yourself, talking about what you can't do, how impossible it is, how we're too old, we're too young, we're too shy, we're too short, we're too tall, we're too this, we're too that, we're too the other, then we will never become who God created us to be. God needed this child, John, to be born to fulfill prophecy, to prepare the way of the Lord. So God did something very unusual. God literally shut his mouth. Zechariah was unable to speak. Some of us would probably do good if we had a couple of weeks of that. A couple of weeks, zip. God was about to do something Zechariah had never seen. Something more than what he ever imagined. But he knew, God knew if Zechariah went around speaking defeat, it would stop the promise from coming to pass. I wonder if there are promises that God has given us that we are keeping from coming to pass because we are speaking the negative. We're verbalizing our doubts. We're cursing ourselves. A year later, Elizabeth gave birth to a baby boy, just like the angel said. Her friends and her family were so excited, they came over to celebrate. One of them asked, "What is his name going to be?" Elizabeth told them, "His name is John." They said, "There's no one in your family by the name John. Shouldn't you name him Zechariah after his father?" They looked at Zechariah. He still couldn't speak. He wrote on a tablet, "His name is John." Instantly, his speech returned. Like with Zechariah, I believe God is about to do something in your life that your family's never seen, something unusual, something out of the ordinary. You're about to give birth to dreams, to promises, ministry, abundance, influence that is far more than you ever imagined in your life. And it's easy to doubt and think it's too much. It could never happen. But the reason God has you hearing this today is so that you will watch your tongue. No more cursing yourself. No more speaking defeat. Talking about how you can't get well. You can't break this addiction. You can't get ahead. You can't start your business. No, get in agreement with God. Start blessing yourself all through the day. Family, I am strong. I am blessed. I am talented. I am anointed. I am healthy. I am prosperous. I am wise. I am well able. I am favored by God. I am protected. Remember, the enemy can't curse you. He doesn't have that power. Now don't curse yourself. In the name of Jesus, speak life, speak favor, speak victory. If you will do it, I declare in Jesus' name, God's about to show out in your life. You're about to give birth to dreams and promises. New doors are about to open. Negative situations are turning around. Freedom is coming. Healing is coming. Breakthroughs are coming. The fullness of your destiny in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for blessing. I thank you for breakthrough. I thank you for victory, Lord. We give you all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, come on, put your hands together. Give God some praise today. Make him hear it today. Did you get something out of this today? I said, you get something out of this today? Because I sure did, man. I've heard this many times in my life. I've preached this and I never get tired of talking about the Word of God and these faith. I never get tired of talking about this. How about you? Amen. I'm glad you're here today. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you're here today. You needed to hear this today. I needed to hear this today. Say, I'm going to bless myself. Say, I made a decision. No more cursing myself. I'm going to bless myself in the name of Jesus. Bow your head for a moment. Father, thank you. Lord, it's your will that we would be blessed. You came, Jesus, that we would live an abundant life. Thank you, Lord, for the power that you've given us by when we agree with you and when we say what you say about us, we bless our life. While your head is bowed and while your eyes are closed, I want to pray right now for anyone who's here this morning. You say, Pastor Steve, I'm not sure where I stand with the Lord today. I'm not sure if all is right between me and God. I want to ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. But I'm not sure. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. What I am asking you is, are you sure? Can you say that you know for certain that when you die, heaven is where you'll spend all of eternity? Because let me tell you the good news. You can leave here today and you can know that for sure. Heaven is a real place. There's a heaven that awaits us. There's a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. And I want to pray right now. I'm not going to embarrass you, but if you want to be included in this prayer, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to have God's blessing on my life. Please include me in your prayer. I'm going to pray right now. If you want to be included in this prayer, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. I want to make sure everything's right between me and God. I want to make sure that every mistake I've ever made in my life is forgiven and washed away. And I want to be sure when I die, I want to spend forever in heaven. If that's you right now, if you want to be included in this prayer, would you quickly just lift your hand up? Just shoot your hand up. Just slip your hand up right now. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I see hands being raised. God bless you this morning. If you raised your hand, please say this prayer. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. The Bible tells us in Romans 10 in verse 9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's how you become a Christian. That's how you go to heaven. That's how you have your sins forgiven. That's how you become a child of God, is by believing that Jesus died on a cross, took your sin, rose from the dead, and confessing him as Lord. I want to lead you in a prayer to do that. So say this with me. Everybody, if you lifted your hand or if you didn't, everybody say this. Say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much. You sent your son Jesus to come to this earth just for me, to die on a cross for me, to shed his blood. Lord, you said that if I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I confess Jesus is my Lord, you said, I will be saved. Say this. Say, Lord, I believe you are alive. I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me my sin. Save me, Lord. I confess Jesus is Lord of my life. From today, I will follow you, Lord Jesus. I receive you into my heart. I thank you. I'm now saved. I'm now born again. I'm a child of God. God, you're my very own Father. I'm your very own child. Heaven is my home. My name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. And everybody said amen and amen. Praise God. Give the Lord thanks and praise. The Bible says all of heaven rejoices when one person gets saved. I want to congratulate you if you've said that prayer, if you received the Lord, best decision you ever made in your life. Before you go home today, just remain seated where you are. If you lifted your hand, we want to give you a gift. We have some of our servant leaders
volunteers that saw you lift your hand, they're going to bring a gift to you before you go home today. Praise the Lord. Listen, how many of you know we're so blessed and privileged to be able to be sitting in church today? We are blessed and privileged to be able to be sitting in church today. There are people all around this country, all over this state, and all around the world that would love to be able to go to church. Let's be thankful and let's be grateful. And let's tell other people that don't know that we're here and we're open and we never closed. And tell them, hey, you want to come to church with me? Come join me. Even if they just come visit until their church opens up again, we welcome everybody here. Amen. And I'm glad to see we've got new people every week and people getting saved. And it's just, praise God. Thank you, everyone who invited someone to church today. And thank you, everyone who's been so faithful to give. You may not be here today, but I know you're giving and you're watching and you're with us and you're praying for us and we're praying for you and we love you and we can't wait to see you again soon in the name of Jesus. Amen. You watch when we come out of this whole thing and everyone comes back, you're going to be amazed at all the new people in our church, how the church has grown. You don't even realize it. God bless you. Pastor Jill.
Good preaching. Thank you. We're going to receive the offering today and we're going to have an opportunity to give into the kingdom of God. Amen. I like to read a verse, but I'm going to ask Samantha, beautiful Samantha with the beautiful nails and hair. And Nadine, just give me a hand over here. I want to show you something. I'm going to read a scripture to you first. The Bible says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. So God talks about an overflow when we honor Him with the first fruits, when we honor Him with the tithe and with our offerings. Amen. And I want to just show you something. So we have Samantha here, she's beautiful, and Nadine, who does not want to be seen, but should be seen. And I'm going to put something in Samantha's hand. And Samantha has open your hand. She has one little bean. And you know that everything we have comes from God, right? And so it may look like just one little bean, but do you know that that bean has the power to produce? Right? If she would plant that bean, it could produce a tree and then it would produce some more beans. Isn't that true? And so it's about receive and release. And yet what happens is that many people, when they everything they receive from God, they hold on to it, right? That's what we have a tendency to do. So if we receive something from God and we hold on to it, do you know that bean will die? It won't reach its full potential, right? And so I'm not saying that you can't have beans. You could have one bean. You could have 10 beans. You could have as many beans as you could fit in your hand. But if you held on to them, that's as many as you would ever have, right? It'd never get any bigger. But what happens then is we're holding on to our one thing. And meantime, God's saying, I want to bless you. And so he's wanting to bless you. And he comes to you and he starts to bless you. Don't hyperventilate, Pastor Steve. He ain't cleaning it up, so he doesn't have to worry. But God wants to bless you. But there's a problem right there, right? Because he says, I wish I could bless them more, but they closed up. So the thing that he's given you, you've never released and you've never sowed it and you've never done anything with it and you're just hoarding it. And so God's blessings aren't able to get anywhere with you, right? And God has many opportunities. He has opportunities that we don't know about. He has blessings that he wants to bring to our lives. But if we have a closed hand, we are unable to receive it. So open your hand, Samantha. Let's go back to one bean. We go with the one bean that you started with right there. So now if she has her hand open and she's willing to sow, why don't you release that bean? Okay. So now it's about receive and release. It's about receive and release and receive and release. And you know what? Jesus actually said this. He said, with the same measure that you use, it would be measured back to you again, right? And we don't have an idea of the size of the container that God has. So he has a big container, but he's going to use a measure that matches the measure that you're using. There's no shortage with God, right? And so it's about receive and release. So let's just do it this way. One hand. Let's go. Receive and release. Receive. There's no shortage with God. God doesn't go this and he says, what about the economy? What about COVID? What about what's the price of houses in Jupiter? None of that matters to God because it's all about receive and release. He has no shortage, right? With the same measure that we use, it'll be measured back to us. And so now maybe I think what you need is a bigger container. So there she goes. And Samantha's game for that. She needs a bigger container because do you know the Bible says that God can do exceedingly abundantly above what we can even think. Now, some of you can think big and you've thought big and you've dreamt of business and you've dreamt of increase, but God thinks even bigger than that. God has a bigger container and you need to have a bigger container to receive that. So let's have, God has a big container. He has more than enough. And he, bring it over here. I don't think I can handle it with one hand. And he goes with the receive and release. Receive and release. Okay, so there you go. That's the principle that's in the Word of God. That's the principle that's in the Word of God. And it comes, it's all about using what God has given you and sowing it. Whether it's your talents or whether it's your finances, if you hold on to it, it'll never become more than it is. But when you release it, God is able to bless your life. Amen. He's not just enough, he's more than enough. So as you begin to give today, there are envelopes in the seats right where you are. As Pastor Steve said, thank you for your generosity. Thank you. Don't slip. Thank you for your generosity. Those that give online, it's an absolute blessing, whether you're here or whether you're not here, you tithe and you give, and it's such a blessing to us. Those that are watching online, thank you. Just go ahead and press give online. It's as simple as that. And we're going to declare the blessing of God over your finances. Amen. Come, Pastor Steve. Right now, Father, I thank you for every person that gives. I thank you that your word is true.
Yes,
I thank you, Father, that everything we have comes from you. And as we release it to you today, as we tithe and as we give and as we honor you with our offering, we do so knowing that there is seed time and harvest. We do so knowing that you promised to open the windows of heaven above us. I thank you for the windows of heaven open above your people. I thank you for harvest time. I thank you for blessings and increase. I thank you for new job opportunities, Father. No matter what the economy, we look to you as our source, Father. In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Say amen.
Amen. Amen. So be it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, listen, don't forget, starting next Sunday, 9:15 to 9:45, we're going to pray before the service upstairs. We have a hall upstairs there. Come join us. Don't forget, invite someone to church. Take some of these invite cards. We have them in the lobby. They're there for you to take home and invite others. If you don't have the through the Bible in a year reading program card, grab one on your way out. And everybody, praise the Lord. We're glad you're here today. I believe you're going to have an awesome week this week. God is doing something. We declare it in the name of Jesus. We declare there's revival across America. We declare the Spirit of God is moving across this nation. What the enemy meant for our harm, God's turning it for our good, for our advantage. In the name of Jesus, I declare we're going to come out of this stronger and better than ever before, in Jesus' name. This is my testimony. Stand with us. And as we go, sing it out. This is my testimony. We need some sound.
Not the miracle that I just can't get over. My name is registered in heaven.
I saw breaking up. I saw singing of hovers.